Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic drum and bass moves that always feels sick when it's done right, the old school sub sign flip. The idea is simple, but super effective. You start with a clean, deep sub, then at the right moment you flip that tone into something more audible, more gritty, and more characterful. So instead of using a bunch of different bass sounds, we're going to make one rack act like a proper instrument, with macro controls you can perform and automate creatively in Ableton Live 12. This is a beginner-friendly approach, but it still gives you that real producer feel. You're not just dropping presets into a track. You're shaping movement, contrast, and tension in a way that works Hebrew Beit, Hebrew Mem, Hebrew Yud, Hebrew Vav, Hebrew Ket, Hebrew Dalet well in DNB, jungle, rollers, dark or halftime stuff, and any drop where the low end needs to stay huge, but controlled. Before we build anything, let's think about why this technique matters. In drum and bass, the sub usually handles the weight, the physical push you feel in your chest. The mid-bass gives the attitude, the movement, the identity. If you can move between those two roles with one chain, your writing gets faster, your mix gets cleaner, and your mastering stage becomes way easier because the low end isn't full of random layers fighting each other. So first, set your project tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. That'll give us a classic DNB feel. Load up your drums or sketch a simple pattern. Kick and snare should be doing their job first, because the bass needs room to breathe around them. If you already know how to program ghost notes and little break edits, cool, but keep it simple for now. The goal here is the bass, not a complicated drum arrangement. Now create a new MIDI track for the bass. Keep the MIDI phrase short and intentional. Beginner DNB bass works best when it's not too busy. Think one bar or four bars, with maybe 2 to 4 notes per bar max. You want space. You want the kick and snare to hit clearly, and you want each bass note to feel like it means something. Let's build the sub first. Add operator to the bass track. Set oscillator at a sign. That's your clean foundation. Keep the volume sensible, somewhere around -6 to -12 dB depending on your session headroom. If you're getting into the rig too quickly, just turn it down now. You do not want to fight clipping later just because the sub was too hot. Set operator to mono. If you want, add a tiny bit of glide, somewhere around 20 to 60 milliseconds. That can give the bass a little slide between notes and make it feel more liquid and classic. But keep it subtle. If you go too far, the groove can get sloppy. We want tight, not gooey. Now draw in a few notes around the low register, depending on your tune. C1 to G1 is a good starting zone. Don't stress too much about the exact pitch range right now. What matters is that the notes are clean, even, and easy to hear. A sine sub doesn't have much harmonic content, so if you push it too low or make it too long, it can disappear or step on the kick. Keep it neat. Next, we're going to create the flip. After operator, drop in an auto effect rack. Inside that rack, create two chains. One chain is your clean sub path, the other chain is your flip tone path. On chain 1, keep it minimal. You can leave it basically clean, or use a very gentle saturator if you need just a touch of control. If you want the strictest low-end focus, put a utility at the end and keep it mono. The point is, this chain is the pure sub. No drama, no extra grit, just wait. On chain 2, build the character. This is where the old-school tone lives. Add a saturator with soft clip-on, and give it a little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB to start. Then add overdrive if you want more attitude, with a frequency somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz and the drive kept moderate. You can also add auto filter to shape the tone. A low pass or band pass can work nicely depending on how focused you want the flip to feel. If you want a tiny bit of texture, you can add erosion, but go easy. For beginners, subtle is the move. The important thing here is that this second chain should not just be louder by default. It should sound different. That's the whole trick. We want to bring that tone in only when the bass should flip. Now for the fun part, macro mapping. This is where the rack becomes playable. Macro mapping order matters. By the way, put the controls you'll reach for most often on macros 1 through 4. That makes the rack fast to use when you're writing, rather than burying the useful stuff in the back. A good starting layout is this. Macro 1 controls sub level. Macro 2 controls flip level. Macro 3 controls drive. Macro 4 controls tone. Then, if you want, Macro 5 can handle width or mono control, and Macro 6 can handle movement, like filter resonance or erosion amount. Here's a really useful beginner move. Map 1 macro so that when you turn it up, the flip tone rises while the sub trims down just a touch. That kind of opposite movement makes the bass feel like it's changing character instead of just getting louder. That's a much more musical result. It helps the flip feel intentional. Keep the low end mono. That's a big DNB rule. Anything below around 128 Hz should usually stay centered and tight. So if you add stereo width, keep it on the higher harmonics only. Don't let the actual sub get wide. Wide sub is a classic way to make your mix feel unstable, and it can make mastering way harder later. After the rack, at EQ8, this is your cleanup and mastering prep stage. If there's mud around 200 to 400 Hz, gently dip it a bit. If the distortion gets harsh, soften the 2 to 5 kHz zone depending on the sound. And if you've got a necessary rumble down at the very bottom, you can high pass very gently around 20 to 30 Hz. Don't overdo it. Just clean up what doesn't need to be there. Now let's make the bass actually flip in context. Go into arrangement view and draw automation for the key macros. Start with macro 2, the flip level. Then automate macro 3, drive, and macro 4, tone. Here's a simple phrase shape, bars 1 and 2. Keep the sub strong and the flip level low. Let the bass sit deep and clean. Bar 3. Raise the drive a little for tension. Bar 4. Especially on beat 4 or a pickup note, bring in the flip level and open the tone a bit more for a punchy accent. Then on the next phrase, pull it back again. That contrast is everything. A really effective DNB bass line often works like a conversation. One moment it's sub-heavy and restrained. The next moment it answers with some bite. That's why call and response phrasing works so well here. It keeps the groove rolling while giving the bass a personality shift. Don't forget that the MIDI rhythm matters just as much as the sound design. A flip sounds way better when the note placement is intentional. Try a long sub note followed by a short answer note. Or repeat the same pitch, but change the tone on the second hit. Use rests. Let the drums breathe. In drum and bass, the bass often functions a bit like percussion. So short, well-placed notes can lock in hard with the breakbeat. If you want a super simple pattern, try this. Bar 1 has a downbeat sub note. Bar 2 has a short response after the snare. Bar 3 is quieter, maybe just a held sub. Bar 4 gives you the accent or flip right before the next phrase. That's already enough to make the bass feel musical and alive. Now let's talk about mix discipline, because this is where a lot of beginner bass patches fall apart. Check the bass with the kick and snare. Then listen in mono. Then check it quietly. If you can still hear the shape of the note at low volume, that's a good sign the harmonics are doing their job. If the bass completely disappears when you turn it down, the flip may need more mid content. Also, leave headroom. Don't chase loudness too early. Keep your master peaking around -6 to -3 dB while you're building. If the limiter is reacting too hard, that's usually a sign the bass is too loud or too uneven, not a sign that the master chain needs to work harder. In mastering terms, a clean bass chain is gold. It makes everything easier. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't make the flip chain too loud. If it dominates the sub, the whole idea falls apart. Second, don't let stereo effects touch the sub. Third, don't overdo the distortion. Start with a little, then add more only if the groove needs it. Fourth, don't overwrite the kick. If the bass and kick are fighting, shorten the notes, shift some note timing, or reduce sub-level slightly in busy sections. And finally, don't automate everything all the time. One clear flip per 4 or 8 bars is often enough. Keep it readable. For darker or heavier DNB, here are some pro moves. Saturate only the flip, not the sub. That keeps the low end pure while the mid bass gets grime. Automate tone, not just volume, because a small filter open can make the bass feel like it wakes up without actually getting much louder. Add a tiny bit of glide if you want that classic jungle feel, but keep it tight. And if you want, resample the bass later. Once the rack feels good, record it to audio and edit the best moments. That can give you a more curated, more committed arrangement. You can also think in tone states. Have one clean sub zone, one mild bite zone, and one full rude mode zone. That gives you more arrangement options without needing a totally different bass sound. If you're feeling creative, try a flip and drop back move. Open the tone for one hit, then immediately return to the clean sub. That can make one note feel massive. Here's a quick mini practice challenge. Set a timer for 15 minutes and build one 4-bar DNB bass phrase. Make the clean sub first. Add the rack with a flip chain. Map at least 3 macros, sub level, flip level, and drive. Write a phrase with no more than 4 notes per bar. Then automate one clear flip moment on bar 4. Play it with drums, trim the low end if needed, and keep adjusting until the sub stays clean and the flip feels exciting. If you have time, export it or resample it and listen back in mono. If you want to take it further, build a 16-bar loop with 3 bass states. The first 4 bars should be mostly clean sub. The next 4 bars should introduce subtle flip movement. The next 4 should hit the strongest tone and drive moment. Then bring it back down for the final 4 bars, with one last accent. Use only one bass instrument rack and keep it to 4 macros max. That's a great discipline exercise, and it will teach you how much movement you can get from very little. So to wrap it up, start with a clean sine sub, split your rack into clean and flip chains, map the important controls to macros, and automate level, drive, and tone to create that old-school sub-sine flip. Keep the low end mono and controlled. Use short, rhythmic notes that work with the drums. And always think like a DNB producer. Sub weight plus audible attitude. That's the combo. That's what turns a simple low note into a proper drop moment. All right, go build it, flip it, and make that bass talk.